Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I am also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, in which we bring together practitioners, artists, entrepreneurs, marketers, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today, I have with me someone that I've known now for almost a year who is always just this radiant burst of joy in a room. She's a productivity coach who likes to focus on productivity as an extension of self-worth and self-care, which honestly, I have to say, isn't something that you see very often in this market. So I am so excited to bring her message and her coaching forward. So Kimberly, if you wouldn't mind, just introduce yourself. Let us know who you are and how you got into coaching.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, first off, for having me here.
Of course.
So I'm Kimberly, and like as Sharon said, I'm a productivity coach. And the thing I absolutely loved about coaching the minute I discovered it is that it is all from within. It is all about us growing. It's not about us finding an external solution to any of our problems. It is all about growing from within. And that is what I absolutely fell in love with when I found coaching. So I originally found it about 2 years ago now, and just been on this big growth journey of just learning about coaching, different skills, different techniques, and pulling this all together. And in recent months, really honing how I want to show up in the world. So it's been a really fabulous journey. And yeah, this is something I'm so passionate about, as you can see, because a lot of productivity, like you say, is really about the tools and the techniques and making sure you've got the habits. And whilst yes, they are important, there's a bigger piece at play. And that really is that self-worth and taking care of yourself and really making sure that everything you do is aligned. So that's
And wouldn't you say that there comes a point at which when you're not taking care of your self-worth and you're not doing that self-care routine, that really these tools and techniques become abuse to a certain extent because you're instigating them in your life? Like, yeah, I've got to do this many posts in a day, or I've got to, you know, talk to this many clients. And then when you don't, because you don't have that underlying foundation of taking care of yourself, it becomes a beating yourself rather than a tool that actually promotes growth. Would you agree with that?
1,000,000%, and absolutely, that was my experience until I started to take care of myself and learn to actually love myself. And that change was the catalyst for what is now my coaching practice. Because you're right, if you're using those tools to beat yourself up, you won't get the results that you want, and you'll be miserable.
Oh my God, yes.
And I don't want that for anyone. I want to spread joy, if you like. I know it sounds a little cheesy, but I really think that we all deserve to live joyful lives. And this is like, it's my little way of doing it.
I love it because, so in life coaching, for those of you that are watching that are life coaches, you know this, but for those of you who are watching that aren't, life coaching is a lot about our belief systems. So a lot of our belief systems come into play because, as Kane Ramsey, who is the man that I got my life coaching certificate from, always says, we are meaning-making machines. We are able to make meaning out of everything and literally do in what could be considered a meaningless world until we assign that meaning. So how do you help a client, Kimberly, who has assigned an erroneous meaning to an experience that they've had, back that bus up and get it on the right track?
It's really about having this conversation about what it is that you truly want. Mm. And the thing is quite often I see a lot of people who are just following these arbitrary goals, things like, oh, I want to make 100K, or, oh, you know, I want to have this, you know, I need to have a business because of the status that it's bringing me, or I'm doing this. They're not bad reasons in themselves, but when they are alone and there is no purpose behind it and there is no foundation of who you are, that real deep sense of knowing who you are, what you want, what your gift is to bring to this world, then everything else just doesn't work. It doesn't fit. And so that's really how I help my clients, is to help them to see that they come to me because they have a problem with managing their schedule, or they're, you know, they're struggling with their time and they think they need to do more things. And actually the biggest thing that I do is cut a load of stuff out, because you're spreading yourself so thinly that you don't have time to explore. What do I want? What do I want my life to look like? What do I want my business to look like? How do I want all of these jigsaw pieces to fit together? And so we start to rebuild that in a way that is aligned with who you really are.
That's so powerful, because I was having a conversation with another coach not too long ago where we were trying to identify shallow subjects that we could discuss with the client. And so I was saying, well, how about procrastination? And this coach looked at me and was like, you don't think procrastination goes deep? And it was like, yeah, it does, because we don't put off putting ourselves out there unless we genuinely believe that putting us out there isn't of value.
Absolutely.
And it's so amazing how many shallow, like, there are all kinds of different coaches. There are coaches that come from a spiritual level. There are coaches that come from an energetic level. There are pragmatic coaches, like our director of education at DIPU, who like to focus on mental processes. But there is not a single subject that doesn't go back ultimately to self-worth, right?
I completely agree. There is not a single subject. And the trouble is when you're trying to do things either where you don't really want to invest, you don't want to spend the time or the money or the energy in actually doing the hard stuff, which is looking at inside yourself, looking at that, shining the light on those parts of you that you don't like, or that you're really being harsh. If you don't shine those lights, then all you're doing is, like we said, you're just going through the motions, and you're never going to get what you want. You're never going to get the results you want, because you're just like a hamster on a wheel going round and round and round. And until you step off, look inside and up level from the inside, then that's when everything changes.
And yet, unfortunately, most of the current societal, religious, sociological, and psychological systems in place tell you look everywhere but there, because there's something fundamentally wrong with what's in there.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
It is sad. And also, it's, in my opinion, it's because it's much easier. It's much easier to blame someone else. It's much easier to say, oh, this doesn't work because this person didn't do the, you know, if you've outsourced something, oh, well, they didn't do their job properly, so it's their fault. Or, oh, the market isn't going the way at the moment, so it's their fault. Every time you're looking outside and you're blaming other people, you're losing control and you're losing your power.
Yeah, it's like handing it away. Like, here, you take it.
Quite literally. And so many people do it without realizing. And it's only at that point when you suddenly think, I don't know what to do next. I don't know how to make, there's no one else to blame. There's nothing else I can, you know, I can't, either I have to quit or I have to find another way. And that's often the point at which people start to look within. And I wish that, I hope that people start to look before they reach that bottom, before they reach that yes. point.
Well, what's really funny too about the self-worth work is that self-worth makes it okay for you not to know. There is a space within self-worth where knowing is not a necessity for you to be okay. But as long as you haven't gone within and done that self-worth work, and also you're not doing that self-care to take care of yourself, there is never a time when you don't need to know something. And if you don't know it, you are then of lesser value. So how would you help a client who is constantly, I need to learn more, I need to do this, I need to do that? How do you help them get back to that center of, look, you're okay no matter what you do?
The brilliant question, why? And as you start to explore that question, when you're saying, I have to have my schedule perfect, or I have to learn more, or whatever it is that you're, is that I must do this. When you ask that question, why, initially you may get a sort of superficial response of, oh, well, because you know, then that would be smarter. Okay, why do you need to be smarter? And if you keep coming back, what usually is uncovered, it's been the way with all of my clients, is that actually it comes back to, because I don't feel enough as I am right now.
That's heartbreaking. It really is, especially when you consider the fact that most of us in Western culture are raised by parents who were not prepared to be parents, because honestly, who is? And then because we have these two people, or God forbid, one person that we're being raised by who's regularly unhappy with what we're saying and we're doing because they had expectations that we're not complying with, we then assign the meaning to those experiences. Well, that's because I'm not enough. No, it's because you're being raised by two people who expected you to do one thing. You didn't do it. Now they're unhappy, but you take that on as literally the proof for the fact that you are not okay, that you are not enough. So how do you help a client who's locked into that belief system and therefore is procrastinating and not putting themselves out there, walk that back to the point of going, that had nothing to do with me?
It really is stepping back to those memories and going back to that time of when you created that. And as you say, it's very often childhood. It's very usually very early childhood. Some of the memories for me personally have been when I have gone back to when I was 1-2 years old. They're memories that are so deeply yes. rooted that you don't remember them on a conscious level, but they're there. Yeah. And so it's going back to when those memories were created and nurturing that child that was there, and understanding that it's okay, that they were okay. And then remembering when you come back to the future and yourself as you are now, that's the past. And that it was okay that you came up with that belief. Like, you had no other information at that time, but now you have new information. And now that you have this new information around you that actually your parents aren't the only truth that is out there, then you can start to change that and you can start to find yourself new evidence. And that for me is a really important piece, is finding that new evidence, finding those new mentors that support the beliefs that you want to believe, because you can choose. It's not always easy. You can choose to believe whatever you want to believe. Okay. And so if you find that enough evidence of that, then you will change, the belief will change.
It will. And one of the things that Angela Brooks Reese, who is a previous interviewee here on the show, likes to say is that your mind, your subconscious mind, is like a puppy, where you throw the stick and the puppy will go grab the stick and bring it back to you. It wants to make you happy. So when you have a belief system, that puppy goes out and finds all of the proof for why that belief system is true, even if that's not really the meaning in that situation. So how do you help a client work with the fact that your subconscious mind wants to please you, but it can only work with the beliefs that you've fed it?
I love that analogy. I think that's fantastic. As a dog lover, I absolutely
Amazing. Thanks, Angela.
Definitely. Thank you. But absolutely. And like I said, it's really about, once you've examined that it was just a belief, it was just something that came from your childhood brain in a situation. And really it is. It's usually 1-2 situations, maybe 3 or 4, but it's really a core memory thing that happened. And once you understand that, that's the first step, obviously, the awareness. And then going forwards, you decide, okay, I don't want to believe that anymore. So instead of believing I'm not good enough, you believe I'm good enough. Mm-hmm. Where have I been good enough in my life already?
Yes.
Where have I done things where actually I was good enough? What achievements have I had? What things can I be grateful for? Because we are very, very privileged. Whether we realize it or not, we are very, very privileged. If you are able to watch this on Facebook or YouTube or wherever you're watching it, then you absolutely are so privileged. And if you can't look around your life and say, wow, This is amazing. I am so grateful for everything that I have. Then there is some digging to do. And that's really such a good starting point, is to be able to have that gratitude. And if you can't, often it's a self-worth issue, because you're really still not having that value. So yeah, that's really the best place to start.
That's such a deep insight, because people who do struggle with gratitude, and I have certainly myself been one of those people throughout the course of my life, it's because we can't see our participation in what exists around us. We can't give ourselves credit for the fact that, well, I have this house that I'm so grateful for because of the work that I've done, or I have the marriage that I'm grateful for because of the work that I've put into that marriage. And as a result, that which we're grateful for kind of becomes this thing that's separate from us that just kind of happened, and I'm grateful for it, but I don't really deserve it.
Yes.
And that's a powerful realization, coming to the understanding that if you have it and it exists in your sphere of influence, you are somehow responsible for it.
Absolutely.
And I would love to hear from you what some of the self-care things are that you share with your clients to help bolster that sense of self-worth.
Yeah. So self-care is, there's so much to it. There's so much to it. So much beyond the first things people will probably think of is, you know, taking a bubble bath or getting a massage. You know, whilst those things are lovely,
yes,
there is a lot more to it, of course. So some form of meditation, absolutely fundamental if you want to get to know yourself.
Indeed.
It could be going for a walk in, you know, in the woods or on a field, wherever, you know, wherever you've got nature, go for a walk. If you can't sit still, that's such a good recommendation. Or even if you, you know, if you can sit still, just sitting in quiet for a couple of minutes.
Yes.
Such a good way to just get in touch with yourself, you know, really feel into who you are and just feel your presence. And from feeling your presence, you'll then be able to feel more grateful for that. If you can't sit still and you don't want to go for a walk, there are plenty of apps. My favorite is Insight Timer,
yes,
but there are others like Headspace and Calm and all sorts, where you can get guided meditations. And again, you start small. A lot of people think they have to sit there for an hour, but it's absolutely not that. Sit there for a couple of minutes, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, and just start and just build up that practice. And it just really helps you center. And I'd say that is one of the best self-care things that someone could do. But journaling, if you love to write, then journaling is a great thing to just get the thoughts out of your head. Especially one of the best things that I did when I was in a kind of almost recovery phase, I suppose is the best way to describe it, of really battling with this kind of ego mind versus what my heart really wanted and who I truly was, is jotting down almost a conversation between my headspace this ego, and really just letting them be. And they stop fighting with each other when you let them have a voice. And I'd even write the different voices in different colored pens. And that's just such a good option for you if you're really struggling with what's going on in your mind. It's such a powerful practice. And it's, as I say, it's simple, but it just gives voice to those voices that just want to be heard. They're just screaming to be heard. And when you get them out and you let them be heard, they fall silent. So that's another great way, I would say.
That is a simple thing and yet so profound, especially the different colored ink, where it really delineates the difference between the two messages.
Yeah.
Because we fight so much with this illusion of being a separate self, because quantum physics and other forms of science right now are currently proving that there really is no separation between me and the world around me, down to the fact that it's the membrane in my ear that creates sound. It's the optic nerve that creates the light, that creates the vision that I see. It's the nerve endings in my skin that creates the experience of heat and cold. Like, I literally am creating my own world, and yet we're locked into this idea that we only exist within the body. So how would you help a client who's locked into that idea of I'm small, I'm weak, and I don't have the ability to create anything? How do you help them lock into that self-worth that gets them up there on the rooftop screaming their message?
It's really stepping into the heart. And I love visualization for this. This is one of my kind of, one of my favorite things to do is to allow them to visualize what it is that they truly want. Like if they were living their unbelievably best possible life and they had everything that they could possibly conceive of wanting, what would that look like in their head? And often I'll go through with them and we'll, you know, discuss, and they'll tell me what they can see, what they can hear, what they can smell, what they feel. And really stepping into that allows you to step away from that, oh, I'm small, I'm rubbish, I'm bad, I am not good enough, I have nothing to offer people. When you're in that headspace, then you can start to make, it's not even headspace, I'd say it's more you're in your heart space. Mm-hmm. You're connected, because I so agree with you on the how connected we are to the world around us. Yeah. And until we tap into that, we don't realize it. We feel small and we don't feel good. So when we step up and we go into our hearts, it's almost like the world is inside of us. And so that's when you expand and you start to feel, wow, okay, like this is, I do have gifts. I do have something to give the world. I have something to offer. And then you can start to translate that into either a business offering or a life choice or what that really looks like in the material reality, but it's creating that feeling.
And it's from that space that we can actually appropriately use all the tools and the tricks of productivity that a lot of other coaches teach, because then that's actually guiding our own powerful drive to create rather than proving to us every time we fail to meet those metrics how worthless we are.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful. Kimberly, I cannot tell you, I could sit here and talk to you for hours because I get just as excited as you do about encouraging people into that space of self-worth, but unfortunately the half hour's already disappeared.
Oh, wow. That went quick.
It did. I just want to tell you really quickly that our Chief Spiritual Officer, Andrea Hendren, is here watching, and she said, thank you for this deep conversation. And indeed it was, because we spend so much time skirting the surface of things and never go beneath where the actual problem originates from. And that's what I love about your work, is that you take people away from trying to measure all of the ways in which we could be better into seeing all of the ways that we already are better. So thank you for that. To all of our viewers who have come and spent time with us today and have left comments, thank you so much. And if you do come and see this video after we're no longer live, just let us know by dropping us a hashtag replay. Drop us some comments. I know that Kimberly, who's tagged in this video personally as well as her page, would love to hear from you, would love to have any kind of conversation with you about how your self-worth and increasing it can actually increase your productivity in a pretty easy and evenly flowing manner. So thank you again for being with us today, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Everyone who watched, thank you. And as always, we will see you again, same time, same place, tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern here on the Discover Your Path You Facebook page. Thanks, everyone. As always, bye-bye.